Welcome. Good morning from Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. Happy New Year, everyone. And we have a great show for you today. We're so glad you're with us in the new year. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so glad to have you back.
Thank you so much. We want to give a big, big, big thank you to Tom McCubbin, who came in and helped us do the New Year's show.
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun. We got a lot of great response on it. People love hearing Tom, and we're so glad that he came in, and we had a great time doing it.
Oh, yes, except for it was 54 degrees in the studio at that moment, so it really was 54.
It was cold, and I dressed for it today, and it's warm. And so that's Florida for you, you know, that it can be cold one day and then warm the next day. So it gives us gardeners, you know, just exciting, opportunities in the garden. And so big thank you to Tom. So we do appreciate it. If you missed our New Year's Eve show, then you can go on to betterlawns.com and you can catch it. Or anywhere on iHeart podcast, you can catch it. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can get it. And it's also on our Facebook page.
Yes, exactly.
So I would love to talk about resolutions and I want everyone to make a resolution to go to our Facebook page and like it.
Mm-hmm.
We loved seeing that. And that helps us with all of our, you know, ratings in the, all in the statistical world.
Keeps us on air.
It keeps us
on
the air.
I mean, it's simple. And we're not asking for money.
Right.
Maybe
exactly.
From our sponsors.
Yes.
But
yes.
As a listener, we're not asking for that.
Exactly. So how was your holiday, your Christmas?
It was stupendous. I can't complain. So how about you? Because I know that you went adventuring up north.
We did. We went and ventured up north. We went to go see the family, big family party this year. It was wonderful. We had everybody there except for one of our in-laws and cousin-in-laws. And he is serving in the military, so he wasn't there. But that was it. Everybody else was there, and so we had a great time.
Oh, I love that.
So it was wonderful. We went to Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Vermont.
Oh, so you lived out the White Christmas movie, huh?
Yeah. We did. And we averaged 40 degrees a day, sunshine every day. So that was wonderful. And it was only when we left that the rain started and the cold weather started. So I was talking to a compadre up there, and it was like 32 yesterday. And you know, was not good at all.
Oh.
And so we had really great weather. So we were really blessed. I went to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which is fantastic. It should be on everyone's, New Year's resolutions if you're up there or, you know, visiting up there. It's in Boston, and it's a gardener's, no pun intended, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. A gardener's dream is just incredible. So if you love going to museums, if you love seeing kind of history and archaeology and all kinds of really cool things, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum is it. Then we also had dinner at the White Horse. And so the dinner at the White Horse is Providence, Rhode Island.
Well, now, wait. Is that your kinship?
It is.
Okay.
It was started. It's the oldest restaurant tavern in the United States. George Washington ate there twice, and the Hessians commandeered it in the American Revolutionary War. And it's the oldest restaurant tavern in the United States and 10th oldest in the world.
Nice.
And my seventh great grandfather started it. He was a pirate. And I have another whole line that worked there and started the family, the Nichols family. So it was very cool to go to. And everybody should go. It was nice and beautiful and elegant. Looked exactly like it came out of the American Revolutionary War. It's incredible. And you can go onto my personal Facebook page and see that. And then we're going to get some rain this week.
What? Really?
We are going to get some rain. This is the effects of the El Nino, where we're going to have a little bit warmer temperatures and lots of rain. So this week, starting today, we're going to get between 3 to 5 inches of rain over the next 5 days. Turn your irrigation systems off, or it's going to be a really good opportunity that if you have your irrigation system working and we get enough rain in your area, if it comes on, that means you need to check it and either replace it or make sure that it's fixed. It's not set.
So basically leave your irrigation on, but set a reminder on your phone or wherever you set your reminders to go out and check to make sure it does turn off.
Especially if it's on during the middle of the night, which it shouldn't be, you know, between, you know, 3 to 6 a.m. is where it should be. And yes, there's no need to be wasting water. This is a great time of the year to wean your turf and your plants off of extensive irrigation. You know, save some money this year. It's our precious resource conservation. We need to protect it. Mm-hmm. And once it's gone, you know, the potable water, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yes. And also pay attention to make sure you have your weather alert set, because we're supposed to have some storms today.
Yep, so tornado possible.
Potential tornadoes. I know that I walked out this morning to let our dogs out at like 4 o'clock, and it was like, wow, it's been like 40 and 50 degrees, and now it's like 70, warm, icky weather. And it was like scary.
And the wind was up, and it felt like almost a tropical storm was coming.
So pay attention. Yes, that's what you can do. Keep yourself safe.
So do you know what today is? Let's see.
Nope.
Today is Three Kings Feast Day, where the Magi go and visit the Christ child. And it's the Epiphany, where, you know, all of the three kings bring gifts. Well, we have Doug Daly. He's the senior curator for the New York Botanical Gardens. He's going to be here. He's going to tell us about frankincense and myrrh. And we have Dana Vendrick coming up with Quality Green Specialist for Arbor Day. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we are celebrating today several holidays, and we have an exciting one coming up. With us right now is Dana Venrick. He is the owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand, and he has some exciting news for us. And good morning, Dana. Happy New Year.
Yes. Good morning, Teresa. Happy New Year to you. I'm all excited about how good the new year is going to be, and how many people we're going to help with some trees and their landscape, you know, and the fruit trees. We're getting a lot of new trees in for the spring. I'm very, very optimistic about having a great year.
That's wonderful. I surely hope you do. And now, around the country, Arbor Day is celebrated on the last Friday in April, but in Florida, we celebrate Arbor Day on the third Friday in January. Why is that?
Well, that's Friday, January 19th. It's coming soon. And the reason is we have such wonderful planting weather in January in Florida. The days are getting longer. The weather is not severely cold, and those roots are getting well established to get better growth in the spring. If you start now while the roots are very active, with each day getting longer and mild weather, relatively speaking, and it's just giving you a lot better tree to grow out if you plant early in Florida.
That's wonderful news. And so the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs is also celebrating this year. And what are they doing for Arbor Day?
Well, they're celebrating their 100th anniversary. They were founded in 1924, and they have nearly 10,000 members. And I would like to give kudos to Duke Energy and the National Wildlife Federation for giving a generous grant so they can plant a large number of trees. Like, for example, Duke Energy gave like $20,000, but the trees have to be native and hurricane resistant and shade trees. And the National Wildlife Federation gave a large grant for buying tree seedlings. So Gainesville Garden Club, for example, is giving a big ceremony, planting 100 trees, you know, as a generous, for the signify the 100 years.
That's wonderful. That is great. And so what native trees do you think we should be planting right now?
Oh, my gosh, it depends, you know, whether you're in North Florida or Central Florida or South Florida. Some, of course, there's some overlap because Florida is like three states in one, three distinct areas are cold and, you know, semi-tropical and tropical. So if you want to grow more cold hardy trees, then you can go to South Florida. You don't have to move out of state. Or
right.
If you want fruit trees, for example, that have greater chill hour requirements, then you can move to North Florida. You don't have to move out of the state.
And so what should homeowners look for in a good tree to purchase? What kind of signs, what kind of tree should they look for?
Well, if North Florida, you want to look for trees that have a good root system, that the soil line is at the first lateral root, what they call the root flare. You know, a lot of times, you know, nurseries even will bury the tree too deeply above that root flare, and that really harms and stunts the tree. You want to look for a nice trunk without any big major scars that could cause an infection, and good branching, no codominant branches, no two branches coming out exactly the same on two sides of the main trunk. And those are the things with a nice canopy where it's been taken care of and trimmed lightly, not just pruned heavily. But look for trees in North Florida like the live oak. You could use the Nuttall oak. The sawtooth oak is one that's very interesting. It has huge acorns. It's from Asia, and it's deciduous. But hunters love it because of those huge deers. It helps attract the deer for, you know, hunting.
Oh, yeah, that would attract them. And so when we're talking about planting a tree, give us your best advice on the way to do it correctly so that the tree grows fast and is strong and wind resistant and hurricane resistant.
Well, yeah, that involves, you know, taking attention to the planting depth. Don't plant it too deeply. Make sure that root flare is slightly above ground line, because when you mud it in with water and your soil and a few amendments, it shouldn't be below that root flare level with the surface. And then water it in well, make it like a dike around a couple feet out from the trunk, 2 or 3 feet out, like make a little dam. And so it holds water. So you fill that basin with water and it soaks the root ball. That's the number one problem when you plant a tree, not soaking that root ball. But that ensures that it soaks it. And then every day, initially, you can water it, then cut back to every other day. But the main way to check is to wait until it needs water. Wait until it starts to feel dry a little bit below the surface before you soak it. With all the rains we've had, you don't need necessarily to water it every day or every other day, but the attention has to be given to the first 2 weeks. And make sure you stake it, because if you're planting a nice tree for Arbor Day, you sure don't want the big wind that's coming through like today to blow it over.
Right.
So you want to stake it well, like with three stakes, you know, with the flexible support. Like you could even use garden hoses so it doesn't hurt the trunk, you know, and support it and anchor it in three different directions. And after 6 months, you can take those out off after it's well rooted and established.
I certainly agree with you. And so should we add soil amendments to the bed or to the hole?
Very lightly. I mean, some of the best growers will lightly sift good quality fertilizer in the bottom of the hole. I've done that. It works really well. But I hesitate to recommend that. You just have to be like you're lightly salting a steak. And then put just a little bit, like you're lightly salting a steak, into the backfill. And just a little bit for a 3-gallon tree, only a shovelful of compost or potting soil. It's better. Less is better in the case of amendments, so you don't keep the root ball, you know, retained in that area. You want it to spread out into the native soil.
Right. And so so minerals, you're a big proponent of minerals to the soil.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It makes a huge difference. For example, I've got a 30-foot-high mango tree, about 25 feet wide, an exposed area in DeBerry, and I've been picking over 150 mangoes the last couple of years, but I attribute it to the mineralization with the azomite, volcanic pumice, and good fertilizer, high potassium, high magnesium, sulfur, making sure that there is nothing deficient. even boron twice a year at very light amounts, early and late in the year, only twice a year. But if you have all the minerals optimized, you'll actually have more cold hardiness of the tree. I guarantee that. I've had too many experiences to see that it works.
Right. And so what is the difference between adding minerals and fertilizing?
Well, you know, you want to test the soil, first of all, and make sure that you know what minerals it needs. And then you want to have a good balanced fertilizer. It's got some of all the major elements. And then depending on the soil test, you might have to add a little bit of bioavailable or organic or natural trace minerals that are deficient. Usually in Florida soils, we see deficiencies primarily of manganese, zinc, and boron. But boron, be careful. You only use a thimbleful twice a year on a nice tree, because otherwise you could get toxicity. So other than that, a good, well-rounded fertilizer, good all-purpose fertilizer with NPK and major and secondary elements with bioavailable trace minerals that are chelated, even better, organic trace minerals that are bioavailable, that's what you want to do. You know, the soil test is really important if you want to have a really, really productive tree and a high-quality, beautiful tree.
All right. And so what kind of trees did you bring in to Quality Green Specialists?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've got such a good selection coming in. We've got Anna, Tropic Sweet, and Dorset Apple. We have Sun Racer and Sun Mist Nectarines and Sun Home Nectarines. Tropic Beauty Peaches. We have four varieties of pecans coming. Amling, Elliott, Sumner, and also Excel. And then so we have the cross-pollinators you need between those. And we have Fuyu and Sayo Persimmons. We have Scarlet Beauty Plums, we have Tababuies, Winged Elm, Bald Cypress, Red Maple, Live Oaks. So those are just a few of the things. So you can see you're going to have a great selection this year, plus all the beautiful fruit trees. We have the mangoes and the avocados and other trees. By the way, in South Florida, you have a chance to plant all these exotic tropical fruit trees that we really can't do too well here sometimes in Central Florida.
Right.
Make sure you use wind-tolerant trees. Now, this is an interesting tree you can plant in South Florida, the gumbo limbo. Sometimes it's called the tourist tree because the bark is red and it peels like a
like
tourist
sunburned.
Being sunburned.
I love that description. That is so true. Yep. That's a perfect description of it. And that tree does very well in hurricanes.
Oh, yeah, it's very wind-tolerant. You know, they used to use that soft, great wood to make carousel horses before, you know, they got other techniques.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Dana. Thank you. Okay, so tell everybody where you're located in beautiful the land.
Oh, yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, we're having the tree planting ceremony, the tree advisory committee. You know, we have that every year at the schools, at the elementary schools. And so we're at 335 West Michigan Avenue, just outside northwest of downtown, beautiful downtown DeLand. And we're at www.qualitygreenspecialist.com. But I tell all about how you can improve your soil on that website.
Excellent.
It's really a good read.
It is a very good read. And anyone can come to you and you will help them with their landscape. And
absolutely.
You will even put
the
trees in the car.
If you come and you have problems, either I or Mike or Lisa will be happy to spend the time, you know, to help you get grounded, if you will, in planting and maintaining a beautiful tree or plants.
All right, Dana. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Have a great show.
Thank you. Now it's time for everyone who has a garden question. You can tell us what you're proud of growing. You can tell us your garden resolution. You can tell me if my texting is working, okay? In the new year, we would love to hear from you. You can give Lizzie a call at 888-455-2967. It's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We'll get this all straight. We're back after a couple of weeks holiday, and we are so excited to be here with you, listening and wanting to hear your gardening questions. You can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, like Lynn just did in Orlando. And Lynn, that's Dana Venrick. And it's qualitygreenspecialist.com. That's all one word, qualitygreenspecialist.com. That's at 335 West Michigan Street in DeLand. And so he's got a wonderful nursery there. They're so helpful and full of great information. And they've got all new native and fruit tree stock in. And you will just have a wonderful time. Everyone yes. needs to plant a tree.
I agree 100%. Also, you guys need to give us a call. Give us a call. We're taking calls right now, so this is the best time to call.
It is. They're going to want, you know, when it's 10 minutes to 9 o'clock, they're going to want to listen to that. So they're going to want to get your questions answered and just have a cup of coffee and just give us a call. I'd like to say Happy New Year to Michael. He just liked our Facebook page. And then Ira and Linda and Patty and Scott. Thank you so much for participating and listening to the show. We do really appreciate you listening in. And Mike down in Venice, too. They're all great listeners. And we heard from so many of you about the New Year's show that we really do appreciate it. Now, what should you be doing in January? Well, you need to make two New Year's goals, resolutions, please. Again, to check the weather weekly for rainfall so you don't need to add any supplemental irrigation. That's going to help you save a lot of money over the wintertime. And then also, too, crepe murder. Promise me that you're not going to participate in crepe murder. If you do need to cut your crepe myrtle back, you can cut anything that is smaller than your pinky. Do not hack it across the top of the tree, but take it back and leave a collar on the branch close to the trunk, and then do not commit crepe murder. It is just not a pretty sight. Not
here,
necessary.
Here in the state of Florida, everywhere you drive this time of year, you see the crepe murder. And all I can do is I can picture you in like a white jacket, like rocking back and forth in a corner somewhere, because it's just going to set you over the edge one day.
It is. And so it really does. And so, but you can cut crepe myrtles back appropriately. And there's a correct way to do it. You can remove the seed heads. They do not need to be cut back to bloom more. In fact, hacking them back like that doesn't make them bloom more. It makes them have larger blooms, which means they'll have less of them, but they're so heavy they hang on the ground. So if your crepe myrtle hangs on the ground when it's blooming, then you know you're cutting it wrong. And so don't do that. Anything smaller than your pinky, you can keep 3 to 5 branches growing and just remove the suckers at the bottom. You want to have good air circulation. So any branches going the wrong way, crisscrossing or touching another branch, take it off. That's appropriate. That's good tree care. And your crepe myrtle will thank you for it. 1-888-555-2967 or 455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Eileen, Happy New Year.
To you and Lizzie, how are you?
We are great. Thank you so much for calling in. Did you have a good holiday?
Yes, we did.
Excellent.
And Bob is sitting right here.
Happy New
listening.
Year, Bob.
Happy New Year.
You said Happy New Year, Bob.
Happy New Year, Great Motor.
Jeez.
And so you have a question for us.
Yes. My Easter lilies, they're coming up.
Wow, that's good.
No, it's not. What's wrong with them? They're not supposed to come up now.
It's that, you know, that's that Florida weather, El Nino year. We're going to be warm some days. That's going to trick the Easter lilies into coming up. But the good news is those Easter lilies can take some cold weather. So it's not going to be bad for the Easter lily, and just let them go. You don't need to fertilize them or encourage them, but they'll probably be blooming in time for Easter. Usually our Easter lilies, once we put them back in the ground, they bloom like 6 weeks to 2 months after Easter.
Wow. I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, now you have.
So they're probably brewed right on time for Easter.
They're just as confused as I am.
Well, this is one of the reasons why we live in Florida. We don't have to shovel sunshine. So,
and can I cut back a hibiscus?
I wouldn't do it right now.
Okay.
Because we've got a couple of freezes coming up. Even though it's going to be a warm winter, we're going to have some freezes coming up. I would wait till mid-February, beginning of March to cut your hibiscus back.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Bye-bye. She's one of our great listeners, and I just have to tell you, I miss the chickens and the roosters.
Well, she could just go buy her some. I've got her address, so we can go drop them off at her house.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we have some really great questions. We have, let's see. Jay from Melbourne says, how far do you fruit trees need to be planted from a septic tank drain? I would do probably 30 feet, 20 to 30 feet from a septic tank drain. Okay, just depending on what kind of fruit tree it is, how big it's going to get. And so if you get the tropical ones that have a large root system, like the mangoes or the papayas, then I would do it 20 to 30 feet. Okay, good question. And you don't want to plant on top any edibles or fruit trees on top of a septic tank drain. That's very important. You can plant small shrubs and you can plant, grass and flowers, and you can do a wildflower meadow. You can do some native flowers on it, ground covers. The mimosa would be great to plant on top of your septic tank drain, but nothing edible. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So what else can you be doing in the month of January? So if you still have your Christmas tree up, and there's a lot of people who do still, they take it down January 6th, take your Christmas tree outside and make it a wildlife feeder for your birds. Okay, just take it. The birds will sit in it. It'll be a good place for the little critters to get habitat. And you can then, or cut it up and, chop it up for mulch if you have a shredder at your house. And there's some people, especially out in Lake County, they have shredders for their trees and their bulk shrubs and stuff. You can then go ahead and use it as mulch. But you could also put it in your lake to give some habitat for the fish areas. We've seen them do that. And check with your local utility, your garbage company, because they may be collecting them to do just that, because there are some local organizations in the area and some departments, city departments, that do use the Christmas trees in their lakes. So that's a really great way to reuse them. I'm going to be back. We're going to have seed catalogs, and we're going to answer your gardening questions. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. You can give me a gardening question. Call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Got to get back into the swing of things. This is the new year, 2024.
Yes.
Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
I have a question on the Mother of Thousands.
Okay.
How's the best to grow it? Pot size, the light, the soil, the fertilizer, water.
Okay, super. It's a wonderful plant. It really reproduces very quickly, which is why they call it the Mother of Thousands. So you want to put it in a place where it's not going to go crazy on you. But if you've got a lot of room and you want to plant them, then it's a Kalanchoe or a Kalancho, however you want to say it. Both pronunciations are correct. And it takes full sun, very little rain or water. It likes it to be very drought tolerant. And that's it. That's all you need to do. It grows very quickly.
The soil fertilizer is not important?
It's not important on Kalanchos. No, sir.
Okay. The pot size, because I have to keep them in pots.
Okay.
To give away and stuff like that, you know, or trade them. And the pot size, I had one that was doing real well in a small pot, or, you know, 3 inches or something. And then I wanted to move it up to a gallon, but it's so top heavy that it tends to self-destruct, you know?
Self-destruct and how it just rots or something?
Pardon me?
How does it self-destruct?
Well, when you try to, you know, turn it over and get it out of the old pot and put it in the new one, it's so top-heavy that it wants to break up.
I see. Gotcha. Well, the good news is that you can stick any part of it back into a pot and it will grow. So any little piece of it will root itself, literally. That's why it's called Mother of Thousands. Every little leaf will grow a whole new plant. So if you break one accidentally, no big whoop. Okay, and just put it, replant it again, and it will keep reproducing.
Yeah, what would be the optimum size though? Would a gallon be big enough for the whole one of them?
Sure, sure. I would.
I wouldn't have to go any bigger than that.
No. Especially if you're giving them away,
because they get about almost a foot high.
They do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a 1 gallon size pot is fine, not a problem.
1 gallon,
one gallon. And then also, too, it doesn't need to be any particular soil because they like sand, so they're very drought tolerant.
Sand.
Yeah, they're from the continent of Africa, and so they like sand, full sun, hot, and very little water.
Uh-huh. Do you say they're out of Africa?
Uh huh.
Whereabouts in Africa, in the Sahara or something? Or?
Well, not necessarily the Sahara, because that's all desert. But in the oasis parts, of Africa, they would grow fine. I don't know exactly where in Africa, but I do know they come from that continent.
Okay. Okay. Good. I can create those conditions, I think. thank you.
You're welcome, very much, Jerry. Happy New Year. All right. Great question. And so it's a plant. Please, if you live near a conservation area, don't plant them outside. Getting into a conservation area would not be good. But if you like in an HOA, you're in a small little area with no access to large, amounts of property and stuff, they'll do just fine. And so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. This is a time of the year that you should be looking through seed catalogs to order your seeds for your garden. And that's important, because if you try and wait until it's, planting time, there may not be any left. There's so much interest in gardening right now. Seeds go very, very quickly. So what are some of my favorite seed catalogs? Baker Creek Rare Seed Catalog is the best. It has got amazing heirloom varieties. It's got new varieties. It's got all kinds of different varieties of the same kind of vegetable or fruit. Baker Creek Rare Seed. And these will Google very easily. There's another company called Select Seeds, and they have a lovely catalog that you can get. Territorial Seed Company is another one. Southern Exposure Seeds is another. The Burpee catalogs are great, and the Park Seed is great. And then if you like to, you get so many seeds that you'd like to exchange them, the Seed Savers Exchange catalog is a wonderful resource for you, and you can get that. And then my favorite catalog, and I have to bring it to you, Lizzie, is the Plant Delights catalog. And the Plant Delights catalog, they sell plants, and not seeds, but they sell plants. And they have plants that are native to Florida. They have exotic tropical plants that will do well here in Florida. Lots of plants that will do well. And it's my favorite nursery.
Oh, nice.
It's just one of them outside of the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Dana's is my favorite nursery. But Plant Delights is in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Avent is the owner. And it is a delight with that. And I was very happy when Santa from my family gave me three gift certificates to Plant Delights.
Nice.
So they will see some business.
You visited there, though, didn't you?
I do. Because, I go there often.
Okay, because when we were driving, I think maybe 2 summers ago up to Maine, I remember you and I were actually leaving about the same time. You're like a day ahead of us. And I almost stopped because I was like, I want to see this place with Teresa.
Yeah. Well, we do. We'll have to do a road trip one time.
Yes.
We'd love to do that. So are there Florida natives, Lori in Indian River County said, are there Florida natives that make good houseplants? That's a great question. And so you can do some of the indoor houseplants that don't need a lot of sun. You can be doing the tropical fiddly figs. And let's see, what other ones? I mean, there's a lot of houseplants. Some of the smaller, that's a great question. I'm going to have to look at that during the next break, and I'll come up with some that will be good because it's tropicals, flowers, and it's got to be shade tolerant.
It was
great
also,
question.
It was also the perfect text message because it asked the question, it said her first name and her location so you could know exactly what to suggest.
Wonderful start to the new year. Perfect text messages. Great job. So, Lori, give me 5 minutes and I'll come up with some that will be indoor plants for you that will do really well. And that's a great question.
Yeah, we can do that in this next hour after we have our special guest.
Our special guest is coming up. He is Dr. Doug Daly, and he has he's the expert on frankincense and myrrh. Mm. And today is the Epiphany, the Three Kings Feast Day, and they traveled, some say, not necessarily right after the birth of Christ, but it took 2 years for them to make their way to the stable in Bethlehem. And so this is the feast day, and we're going to be talking about not gold, but the frankincense and myrrh.
Oh, that
and,
is neat.
And Dr. Doug Daly, he is the senior curator of the New York Botanical Gardens. He's going to join us, and we're looking forward to talking with him.
It took two years, really. I'm glad that they decided to bring frankincense, myrrh, and gold and not diapers because you would have grown out of them by then.
You would hope, right? I was with our two-year-old last night, Olivia, and she's not out of them. So I will tell her to get on the ball there.
And you're some frankincense and myrrh. Maybe that'll help.
What else could you be planting this time of the year or doing this year? This is the pruning time for apple trees, grapes, peaches, pears, and figs in your yard. So when they're deciduous like they are right now, great time to cut back. You can see the different stems. You can make sure that you have good air circulation and pruning. If you'd like to have some more information on that, you can email me at betterlawns.com, and I will send you information on the proper pruning of peaches because they're vase-shaped. They're not, you know, the typical fruit tree shape that you think about. And then the figs, too, as well. So this is the pruning time for apples, grapes, peaches, pears, and plantings, and my blueberries, Lizzie, have turned red. Yes. And so blueberries change colors with the season, and when it gets cold enough, they turn red. And all of my blueberries, the leaves are all red. So I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased. Looking forward to a great blueberry harvest this year.
If whatever stole them last time doesn't swoop in and steal them.
Oh, please. You know, I don't know what to do. I think somebody just went by and took them off and ate them because it wasn't birds. So
where was Tony?
Where was Tony?
Where was Tony at that time?
That was very traumatic. Growing beautiful blueberries and then somebody eating them all. Just, you know, day late and a dollar short and no blueberries. So from the Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Wadkas, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
While we're on break, go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, and check out because we're giving away tickets to the Orlando Monster Jam at Camping World Stadium. WFLAOrlando.com.
WF.